enter the crib. Your strike back sit rep starts in 3, 2, 1. Wait, do we go on 0?
Welcome back, guys. We are here to talk about episode 7. We are very excited to say not only we have our review, but we got to talk to stunt person turned actress Mini-Me, Jenny Mbao.
Oh, you guys, you're going to love her. She's so great.
Yeah.
Love talking to her.
Oh my God, so cute, so wonderful. So, yes, we do get to talk to her about Mini-Me. Spoilers ahead, I'm Kelsey.
And I'm Deb.
Yeah.
That was not the spoiler.
That was not the spoiler, no. Another phenomenal episode. This one was hard to watch.
Wow.
Yeah, it was, we keep saying brutal, but this one was...
Yeah, unexpectedly brutal.
Yeah.
And what was wild is that the brutality didn't come from where we were expecting it. Leaving off last week with, you know, young June and Assam being confronted by Father June. And so you sort of expected all the action to be there. And yet that was all pretty low key.
It was. It went fairly smooth as takeovers can go. I mean, I think... Even, you know,
at least here in the early days.
Yes. Even Father June's like, you have to kill me. And young June is like, I don't want to. That's not how we're going to do it. Which I think, good fucking for him.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he has a vision of where to take the tong. It sounds funny that we're like, he's so admirable for taking over this drug selling gang. But he has a vision for... what will be ruthless, but also like using his father's experience and being smart about it.
Right.
And he clearly is suspicious of Assam.
Oh, heck yeah. He laid that pretty well bare this week. Yeah,
yeah,
definitely.
He wants to trust him, but.
Yeah. What was he? He's like, no one ever gave me a choice. It happened so fast. I work for you. Assam tells him, I work for you. And then young June's like, well, it doesn't always feel that way.
Yeah.
And the look on Assam's face is like, huh? Yeah.
Oops. And maybe he now, and I think maybe he will realize he's been underestimating how observant that, that it's not that young June doesn't see, it's that he right now he doesn't want to.
Right.
It's been a choice, you know. Yeah, so it was really, I mean, of course, then we have Atoy and Mini-Me, and that, God, that place was terrible.
Oh my God.
I thought we had seen brutality in the brothels. That took my breath away.
Yeah, it was horrifying. Horrifying.
Yeah. Yeah.
My God.
Yeah, I don't even have words to describe. And I guess the other thing is, like, I thought, yeah, I mean, it was shocking to me in a way that I didn't expect it to be, because I feel like I've seen a lot of shit, and this was like, and this was real, you know?
And the worst thing is that you know it's not even close to how awful it really is.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you can only get away, you can get away with a lot on Cinemax, but even that has its limits, and so you know it's not even close to how really horrific it is, you know?
I think that oftentimes is what's so much harder. I think about like the show Handmaid's Tale, you know, and how they're very careful that even as terrible as it seems, every choice that they make for the things that are done to women are things that have happened to women. They don't do anything that they cannot find historical proof of this being a thing. And that is like, yeah, it makes it hard to watch. But back to Warrior.
And they're children. Most of them are children.
Yeah, little girls. Which is clear when they're lined up at the farm when she gets them to Davenport and you see them like, you know, not in that light and not in that way. And they are so young. Yeah. Okay. Let's not talk about that yet. Cause well, we might have to talk about that. I don't know. Okay. Fight of the night.
You know, I was going to go with the crib brothel hit just because it's so efficient in its brutality. You know, you saw they just walk in and they very efficiently kill all the baddies except the one, you know, main mm-hmm. baddie. And Lai just loses her shit mm-hmm. on him. And the brutality of that, you know, Gon was the efficient vigilante killer. Mm-hmm. It was all just pure hatred. And so I was going to go with that.
Okay.
But I chose my fight of the night as the horrific brawl at the mayor's house mm-hmm. at the end of the episode. That was really brutal. That was, you know, that was Gon was the stylized fighting that we're used to seeing on this show. This was just, you know, down and dirty domestic abuse that was just horrifying. Ugh.
Every veneer ripped off of him. All of his rage, all of his smug hatred. I mean, when he was put his hands around her neck, he looked happy. You know, there's like, he's enraged, but there's this mm-hmm. like, I finally get to do this, you know? And I can't think of the actor's name who plays the mayor.
Christian McKay.
Thank you. Is phenomenal at being terrible because yeah. the looks on his face were looks that probably most women are familiar with at mm-hmm. one time or another. And it just is stomach turning. Like, it's the kind of scene you watch and you see that look, and when it's just his face on the screen, he's making that face, it almost makes your body tense up in preparation for having to defend yourself mm-hmm. because you've seen that, you know, that like disdain. Oh yeah, I mean, he's great but terrible.
No, he definitely is a character that we love to hate for the last 2 years. And, you know, he just repeatedly made my skin crawl. Mm. He's so manipulative and so slimy and so awful. And I was so happy that he got what he deserved.
Yes.
And yet there's Jacob.
Oh, like, I know.
Oh my God.
Oh, sweet Jacob, sweet innocent Jacob.
This is so awful.
Because they will never allow it to be self-defense.
Right.
Yeah.
And that whimper that you heard from him at the end. Mm. That, you know, just realizing I did what I had to do. And there's no way I'm coming out of this alive.
Yeah.
You know, just that whimper of understanding that he just made
yeah.
the ultimate sacrifice.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. Okay, so I didn't pick that one. I picked the crib brothel because I have since episode one, at the end of episode one of season one, when we saw that sword come out and we had been kind of like, about the pilot. And then we're like, whoa, 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 what just happened? You know, I want more of her. I want more of that. I have loved Olivia with the sword and with Otoy there. I mean, with the Mini-Me there, they're just fabulous together. Mm-hmm. And I love watching them. But it was, I mean, that, the, yeah, I mean, it was brutal.
That was horrifically brutal. And deserved. The look on Atoy's face when she realized she just crossed a line. You know, this was.
Because, she is extreme. Personal. She will kill anybody, but it's kill and done. It's not torture for her. Right.
It's get the job done.
Yeah, for a reason.
Right. And that was, I mean.
That was a young girl who's been through shit letting all of that out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ugh.
Yeah. And so Atoy's looking at her like, what am I supposed to do with this? If I let this continue, what's it going to do to her?
Yeah.
Because she took a little too much enjoyment out of making that man suffer. Oh. He may have deserved it. Mm. But it was gruesome.
Yeah. Okay. I can't talk about this scene anymore. So let's move on. There were a lot of them. What did you pick for your emotional moment?
I picked Atoy leaving Lai behind. That was That was really kind of heartbreaking.
It was the way she feels. She's devastated.
Yeah.
Both.
I mean,
we saw
in that episode Atoy be the happiest we've ever seen her, and be the most damaged. I mean, not damaged, but the most hurt we've seen her in one. You know, from the beginning to the end, she went from being so happy with Nelly and having to give up Lai, who she clearly loves.
Yeah. It's so, I want to be like, stay with them. Just don't go back. Yeah. No, that's a good one. So I was really torn. There were so many. I ended up picking the scene right before the killing of the mayor between Penny and Sophie.
Oh,
when Penny has seen Sophie with Leary.
Yeah.
And she knows, you are the reason my factory burned. Not just you've been going out doing shit, but you caused all of this. And that just like, and Sophie still trying to defend herself in this really gross, like she's blaming Penny way. Mm-hmm. And like, oh, it's good. Now you're free. Now you're whatever. And like Penny, like, I'm just like, look at your fucking sister. Her face looks like someone died. Like she is devastated. And Penny, I was really proud of her for staying strong and just like the get out. That to me, it was that moment. And then of course.
Yeah. And it, you know, it really points out the limits of Sophie's thought process, because what is it she thinks they're going to live on?
Yeah.
You know, like, well, you can be free of the mayor. Yeah. No.
You can sell the burned out husk of a warehouse for enough money for us to live on?
Yeah.
No. That's not how it works.
Like, no, sweetie. The privilege ends now, you know. And just, Sophie. Yeah. But she did come back, which was good.
She did.
She tried.
She tried. I kept I being like, wish try she a little hadn't. Harder.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or like,
I wish she hadn't, because now, I mean, she's such
not to be trusted.
Exactly.
She doesn't think through the consequences of her actions.
Right.
Yeah. 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 We'll see. All right. What the fuck moment.
Yeah. I don't know. There's so many of them in this one. I'm not really sure. I think we've talked about stuff that, you know, was the fight of the night, but it was also a what the fuck. You know, it was an emotional moment, but it was also a what the fuck. So I'm going to go with maybe a more low-key what the fuck. And that was Lee figuring out for sure that Bill framed Zing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's gonna be
pretty
hard.
Oh my god, he's already down so dark and so angry with him and feels so betrayed, and to have this piled on top, it's gonna be bad.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure I know what yours is.
Okay, I'm just saying, she choked the shit out of him. Yeah, that was definitely my what the fuck. I was like, oh, they're having, oh look, they're happy to, like, I guess they're having like makeups.
That's
not makeup sex. That's like, you're gonna prove that you trust me by letting me almost kill you.
Well, we don't know that she didn't.
I mean, I'm assuming she didn't. She was like getting off on him choking. And I was like, but the look on his face, this is not like a thing they've discussed. Guys.
Oh, no, look, no. That was a total shock. Total power play.
I understand their breath play is like a thing. That's consent. That was not breath play. That was like, you're my toy. And you
that
will
was,
do.
I am your master.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. That was
a what the fuck for me.
You will submit to me.
Yeah.
I mean,
it was sexy. Like, before that, it started to cross a real line when his face was going red. I was like, not sexy anymore. This is now like...
There's no safe word, and he can't say it anyway.
Yeah. So yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, that was mine. Oh my god.
That was something. I thought it might be, and so I didn't choose it. I'm gonna leave it all to you.
It's funny. So, lots of questions.
Oh,
I think from this
gosh.
Week we sort of carried over from last week because we didn't have any from the standalone. But like, one, we haven't seen Buckley. Obviously, we're gonna see Buckley since now the mayor's dead. Mm-hmm. What happens to Jacob?
That's what I'm really.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. With her connection to Leary, Sophie's connection to Leary, and her not understanding, and her already distaste for the Chinese, like.
Well, and Buckley's.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, obviously.
Buckley's, I mean, we're assuming the mayor's dead. I'm pretty sure he is.
Not like that Penny means- is going to have, like, she's going to beat to shit, and you would think. But I just know they won't use. They won't.
No,
it's the mayor.
Buckley, you
and
know
he's a white
Buckley's
guy.
Gonna, you know he's gonna manipulate it into something.
Yeah.
No matter what, whether they, you know, whether they give Jacob out or if they just say that Penny did it. Either way, Buckley's gonna manipulate it to get what he wants. But Buckley now has something hanging over him too, so
something we'll see. That's the other question, obviously. What was the photograph?
Yeah,
I mean, obviously it was something devastating for that guy to be so smug sitting there thinking he's gonna get owed more.
Exactly.
You know, and then you have young June and Father June. Where's that gonna go? Is he gonna have to kill him? Is Father June gonna be planning to like try to take the Tong back? You know,
it was really kind of heartbreaking.
Yeah. But,
you know,
I mean, he's kind of a dick to his son. So not that. Yeah. But like,
but
I mean, obviously
was still
bringing him drink and still trying to reach out and be like, I'm your son. Be proud of me. And still just getting punched down.
Right. Like, you know, Young Jin was sincere when he said we're honoring your years of leadership and celebrating your retirement. Like, we could do it like that.
Yeah.
Just respect me, you know. I have good ideas. Respect me and Father June.
So,
although Hong was pretty funny in that opening scene, the look on Hong's face went out was all, what the fuck?
He's funny in every scene.
He just, you know, as Young June, because you could see him standing right in back of Young June, and the looks on his face was just like, okay. Okay.
Yeah. And then I cannot wait to talk to him.
Oh, God. It's going to be awesome. The look he got on his face when he thought he was going to have to fight. Like, yeah.
Yeah. He's funny psycho.
Yeah.
Little bit cute, little bit psycho. Yeah. I can't wait to talk to him. He's such a great character. You know, there's so, I mean, is Hottie McHottie Pants alive? I hope so. I mean, I assume so. That seems it would be a terrible character death if it was off screen strangled by her, Joe Taslim. I'd be like, that is not doing him justice. I mean, it's a hell of a way to go.
Well, and then we have the whole storyline of what's going on with Ah Toy's business partner.
Yeah.
I mean,
where he's like, goes,
hire
the creepy priest.
Oh.
With like the missing finger and then the,
Yikes. How do I go about this? Oh, just make an offering. Oh my God.
Yeah. And those guys at the butchers were shady as fuck. And they've got to be. That's got to be the hitman he wants her dead.
Oh.
They're scary.
Yeah. And if he's willing to go to that extreme immediately, you know that he has stolen like everything from her.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Wow.
Yeah. He's crazy. So there's a lot to happen in 3 episodes.
Yeah. I mean, like, how many more cans of worms did they just open up?
Oh, yeah. You
know? Wow.
So many. So three episodes to go. We'll see what they can tie up. We hope they don't tie up everything because we want more, but we also don't want not everything left untied. I talk like a person. We want stuff to go off of for season three, but we don't want like a complete cliffhanger because we would like some resolution for the season. There we go. I'm going to leave all
okay,
that.
Okay. All right.
This is how I am all the time. You guys.
Either way, I think we're going to be left hanging. So.
Yeah, that's true. Mm. Oh, man. So good. But up next, Jenny, Lai, Mini-Me, so cute. Next week, Buckley, Langley Kirkwood chats with us. We have like, oh my God, episode 9, Jason's coming on. Jason Tobin's going to come on, talk to us about Young June. Episode 10, we have Andrew Koji to come on to wrap us up for the season. And then we have like bonus episodes.
Sort of wrap us up.
Yeah. Then we have like, wrap us up for the
and then we have like Aryan Cinemax. Bonus.
Yes, and then we have like a bunch more coming on because we missed like the first four episodes. We didn't have any interviews. So
we would have had more.
So. We piled them on. Hoon Lee is one. We're so excited. Chen Tang is coming on to talk about Hong. So we've got lots coming on afterwards. And you guys make sure to keep up the push for renewing Warrior, and when it comes out on HBO Max, go and rewatch it so that like they get the views again. You know, help us get the word out because the show's great.
And Dan McPherson, how have you not watched this?
Right?
What is up with that? No.
Can you believe that? I can't believe he said he hadn't watched it yet. He better get on it soon. Or we're gonna pester him. So, yeah. All right. That's Warrior and Jenny
Warrior
Six.
Episode 7 and. Be back in a second for Jenny and Bob.
We're not at Xfil. Stay with us at the crib.
Hey, welcome back, fans. We are so excited today because we actually get to talk to a stunt person. Woohoo! We've called her Mini-Me since last season because we were just so like blown away when she joined the cast last year and revealed herself to be like a little Mini-Me Atoy with that sword. And this season she had an even bigger role and an even more badass role, which was awesome. So we are so excited that we get to talk to Mini-Me, who actually is named Lai. and the actress / stunt woman who plays her, Jenny Umbao. Welcome, Jenny.
Thank you so much for having me on your podcast, guys. It's an absolute honor.
Oh, we're so excited. We obviously are huge fans. She is you know, a fairly small role, but it is one that everybody remembers. She stands out. She's phenomenal. So we are so excited. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, I'm actually in awe that people started to understand this character. I thought she was just going to play like a side character, but all of a sudden people were speaking about this mysterious little lie. And I think that's where also the character continued to grow. So yeah, that was very exciting.
Yeah, so can you talk us a little bit through how you got involved with Warrior and then how your role kind of transformed last season? Like during the first, God, it's been like forever since the first season film. So, you know.
It has. I think it's about been 2 years now, I think.
Yeah.
Crazy. Yeah, so basically I actually was just a general stunt. I was in the brothel and I was, getting thrown around a little bit here and there. And my stunt coordinator, the South African and the international stunt coordinator, they kind of pulled me aside and asked if I wanted to try an audition for a role. But I didn't know it was going to be for Lai. It was just like a possibility of a small acting role. And obviously for us, that's a big opportunity. So I had actually casted for Lai with Mai Ling's dialogue.
Oh, really?
Yes. I can't quite remember all the words, but it was in my full-on American accent. And I had no idea what I was getting myself into at all. And then they obviously wanted this girl to be 14 at the time. So that was interesting. I had to cut myself some bangs, and even for my audition, I had pigtails in just to make myself look. I mean, I was fighting for that role now, you know, because that was going to be the big dream. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we auditioned, and it took a while. I think they were still not very sure. I maybe looked a little bit older. And right at the end, that's when Jonathan Chopper and I had a conversation over video call, and that's when I got the role. So that was a big step up from my little stunt role in Warrior.
Well, and it was a very exciting splash onto the screen. And I think what I love the most about her is not only is she, we don't know a heck of a lot about her. Clearly, she's been through hell.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've only known Atoy up until this point when she meets Lai.
Yes.
You know, we don't really know a lot about Atoy. She's just sort of this badass, you know, business owner. And we didn't really have a lot of emotional connection to her. So all of our emotional connection initially is because of and through Lai.
Yes.
So it really is an important role that really set up all of season two as far as where Atoy starts going. Did you realize at the time that it really was going to be such a pivotal role for Atoy?
Oh my goodness. No, not at all. I mean, yeah, you're right. I think it does help Atoy show that emotion through Lai. I think without Lai, her role is brilliant as is, but I think it helps you show that sensitive side of Atoy. And I think that's what was really important of Lai to come into this whole story. But I had thought Lai was just going to be this like floor sweeper, because for the whole of season one, I mean, you know, that was my role. I was cleaning the floors and sweeping the stairs and stuff. So, you know, and I was happy with that.
But then the sword came out.
And so funny, because she's supposed to be 14. I did not realize, I think she's a little bit psycho. Like the smile that you put on, and I'm like, wow, that really puts, that's like even more of a new perspective when I realize when you put an actual number age to it, as opposed to just like young and scarred, it's like, ooh, she's been through the shit.
Well, I think after they had cast me for the role of Lai, I think they upped the age a little bit, because unrealistically, I don't look 14, you know? So I think they pushed it to like 16, 17, which is still, I mean, still an innocent young girl, you know? Mm-hmm. So, but yes, not, all the pain so she's gone through, you can totally see that when she starts to fight.
So I know we don't get a lot of her backstory, but I'm curious if you sort of have in your head, because she's such a real character. She's not one-dimensional. You see so much of her. You know, if you sort of have an idea, and if you would share it, of what you kind of vision as her backstory.
Well, this was a back and forth, because I've obviously, we don't have a backstory on Lai. And I didn't want to create one, because if, fingers crossed, season three happens, I don't know what could potentially happen with Lai if she comes back and there is a backstory about her. Mm-hmm. But I mean, if I were to make up one, I did have it in my head that she was shipped off by her parents because they could no longer afford to survive. Mm-hmm. And that her one of her family members were killed by the Americans. And that's where her rage kind of lies in, you know? But I mean, again, I don't want to create the story, because I'm hoping that there's a season three. And, you know, if that's the case, then I really hope that they will do a little bit of a backstory on her.
I hope so. I hope she comes back, because I think she is such an interesting character, and it would be a real shame if episode 7 is the last we see of her.
I know. We'll see. That's a completely different story to that one, but there is a reason that I got taken out of the show. And that was by the graces of my amazing producer, because I had a chat with him while we were shooting season two, and I had a call from Cirque du Soleil. I was juggling the idea of carrying on with season two. And hopefully having a season three. I mean, we didn't know at the time, or taking this once in a lifetime opportunity for Cirque du Soleil.
Wow.
Yeah. So I had a big chat with him and he told me, you know, he says, if you were my daughter, I would tell you to go. So he wrote me out of the story. He didn't kill me.
he didn't.
But yeah, he wrote me out of the story just so that I was gone for the rest of the season.
Well, I do want to talk about that emotional goodbye with Atoy, because that was harsh. But since you brought up Cirque du Soleil, am I right in assuming you have a gymnastics background? Is that
correct? I do. Yes, 13 years of artistic gymnastics.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
So that's kind of what got me into stunts. And then 6 years later, that's what got me into Cirque du Soleil.
So do you know what you're going to be doing with Cirque du Soleil? I mean, are you already performing or...
I've already finished my contract.
Oh, okay. Oh, we forget that like season two wrapped like a year and a half ago.
It totally did. So as soon as I wrapped, I left for America, and I was actually in the States or in Las Vegas for about a year and just over a year. Mm. Yeah. Wow. And we were performing on a new show.
That is so cool. And then the world shut down. I imagine that.
World shut down, and I got stuck in Texas with my sister. Yeah, and then I managed to come down on the 7th of September. So I've been here for about 2 months now.
Okay, that's good. You got out. Yay.
I know, thank goodness.
So how did you first go from doing gymnastics into stunts in general?
So I actually joined a tricking. I don't know if you guys know what tricking is. Mm-hmm. It's like a mixed martial arts / gymnastics form of freestyle flipping. Let's call it that.
Okay.
And I wanted to get into it. And there were actually two stunt guys who were training all of us. And he obviously saw that I had a bit of a background. And he was like, well, are you ever interested in doing stunts? And that's when I did my first workshop, which was actually a sword workshop. So that's crazy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, was a sword workshop, and it, I mean, ever since then, I've just, you know, tried to grow as much as I can in the industry.
Do you find then having that much of a background in, I mean, because gymnastics is such a sort of all around physical sport, I think, makes it easy to do stunts in way things that, like, you don't have I'm assuming you don't also have a martial arts background, but... transition into that style, like that, I guess, that physical control. Does that make a big difference for you then?
I would say it definitely does. I'm not gonna lie, I was born with two left feet, but thank you to just like gymnastics.
What?
Oh my gosh. My coach used to tell me I was the worst dancer ever. It's ridiculous. But I mean, I think through like perseverance and training, it really did help at the end of the day. And also just the drive of wanting to do it, you know, I think that's the big thing here. Yeah.
Wow. So you said artistic gymnastics. Is that what we call rhythmic gymnastics over here with the hoops and the balls and the,
the full apparatus.
Okay. All right. I just want to make sure. Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about that tonight's episode.
Yes.
And you got to go pretty full on psycho in this episode at the crib brothel. I mean, I have to tell you, that felt good watching you do that to him, even though it was pretty awful. But I was just like, you know, that is some rage coming out of that girl. And because he deserves it. What was that like to, how long did that take to shoot? And
it was a one-day shoot, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong. I mean, it has been a year since we shot that. But I think we shot it in a day. And I mean, it was intense. We did so many different angles, so many different takes. I mean, just getting that whole scene, it was crazy. But it was the most satisfying and the most beautiful scene I've done. Although how gory it may be, it was the finisher for Lai, you know? So yeah. That's a big one.
Can you talk a little bit? I mean, because it was water and grime and dark and gross. And what was it like just buckets in the location?
Well, I mean, that's the life of a stunt performer. We literally work in places that are like, oh, it's horrible. We've worked in like an abattoir before. I mean, it's gross, you know, we do some nasty stuff. But that specific scene that we did, I mean, you guys saw it, but it's just gruesome. It's something that you don't believe was ever real. You know, it's one of those things that you cannot believe was real. And just seeing those girls go through what they went through, I mean, that's the driving force for Lion LaToy to really give these guys hell.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're absolutely right about not like it feeling unreal. And it does feel like a needed slap maybe, because I think we all understand how terrible brothels were and how terrible like trafficking is and those things. Yes.
Yeah.
But to see that was like, we have, even the things that we know that are terrible are still a very sanitized version of so much of what has gone on. And that was like, yeah, that sort of took my breath away in probably a really necessary way. I think this show does that, you know? God, I don't even know. I didn't even have a question. Just, yes, I agree. It was just terrible. It's gruesome.
I mean, it is. It really is. And I think a lot of people don't realize that, as Deb was saying, it's still happening, you know? So it's good for people to really see that this is, you know, that this is a reality. And unfortunately, people do go through these things. But then in the cinema world, you get the Lion LaToys who come and save the day.
Mm-hmm. I'm interested because that scene ends with, you know, basically Lai is just going at this guy and doesn't seem to want to stop, and LaToy, you know, has to tell her stop, it's enough, stop. So I'm interested in your take on whether LaToy had originally planned for Lai to stay with Davenport, or if maybe that seeing how out of control she got there and how much anger and vengeance she had in her maybe swayed LaToy into making that move, because she clearly loves you.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's exactly it. I think she saw the rage, or this new type of rage in Lai's eyes, and it was something that she never thought she would see. This little girl that she so tenderly is looking after, you know, it's like her little sister, I guess. And suddenly she just sees her going at this guy, and she just doesn't stop. It's just a never-ending, you know, brutal abuse to this guy. And I think that, like, Lai stop moment was where she realized it's gone too far. And, you know, this is not the life of a little 16-year-old, and this is not what she should be, you know, doing, or how she should be living. So I think that was definitely the moment that LaToy realized, I think this little girl needs a better life for herself, for sure. Mm. Yeah.
What was the actual last scene that you filmed?
I think it was that one. Yeah, we shot the scene in the vineyard. Mm-hmm. We shot that one beforehand. So the brutality was the last one.
Wow, what a way to go out.
I know. It was, that whole week was just a week of some crazy emotions, because, I mean, personally, I have a really strong relationship and friendship with Olivia, who's LaToy. And so for us, we had formed this like real sisterhood in real life. And so for us, that farewell, that final farewell, was a real final farewell, because I would be going to America and she was going to be going back to Canada. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we didn't know when we would see each other again, because the promise of a season three wasn't, you know, necessarily sorted out. So yeah.
Well, we're still hoping.
I mean, the audience have been amazing. I don't know if you guys have seen the comments and stuff, but people seem to be really, you know, making a noise about it. And I'm hoping that that does something.
Yeah, us too. Yeah. I mean, hopefully once it's on HBO Max, it'll get some really good numbers. So
yeah, because we plan to keep making noise about it all through its run on Max. So
yeah, we really appreciate you guys. I mean, seriously, this is such a, you know, any kind of support is really going to help this show. And the more we talk about it and tell other people what it's all about, I mean, it seems to be a big hit. So we just needed to, you know, grow the audience. Mm-hmm. That's basically
yeah.
it.
Yeah. So I want to ask you about one of the, I'm a nerd. I love like superhero shit. You can see behind me. In the first episode, I think one of the coolest scenes is, no, shit. Was it the first episode?
Yes, it was.
Yeah,
okay, of this season.
The season.
The wire work.
And you did. Yeah. No, I was gonna say the walk. You had a superhero walk. It was
at the end of the season.
Yeah, Mini-Me and Atoy and Awesome and this like walk. And okay, so I just have to ask.
It was awesome.
It's like epic action. It's like superhero moment. But how I was about to swear. How do you like? In your head, as you're doing the like action walk,
yeah.
What is it that like goes through your head as like a like how to control your body, or is walking like that just like naturally come? You know,
are you naturally just a badass walker? She looks like that always. I go shopping and I look like that girl.
Oh, I wish. I'm super clumsy. No, not at all. I think the saving grace of that one is we did the action before the walk. So, you know, you've already killed all those people. You did the flip in the air. And now it's that final moment where you're like, I just did this, you know, and you flick your sword out and you're kind of walking out. And obviously having Atoy and Assam right next to you, I mean, you have to feel powerful there, you know?
Yeah.
So definitely that, like, it felt slow motion while we were walking through.
It looked like that. I was like, awesome. Man, how do you like get that feeling without it actually being in slow motion?
Nobody noticed that.
I love it so much. I'm like the person who's gonna like walk out the door and fall down the stairs. So that to me is just like, how do they do that?
Oh, you need to send me a video of you trying it. I promise you, just cool and just kind of like walk out the door. It took me out.
Well, and let's talk about the beginning of that scene because that. I mean, what a great way for that scene to start, that she just shows up and has that look on her face when he's like, it's a girl. I'm like, oh, dude, you're so dead.
Well, I love that because it's the story of my life. I'm a 5'1". Like little Asian girl. So everybody always looks at me and they're kind of just like, oh, look, you're just a tiny little girl. And then that's where I get to kind of showcase my, you know, dynamite comes in small packages thing. So yeah, that episode was brutal, but it was probably the best scene I shot.
Oh, it was fantastic. And then, I mean, well, dispatch with him right away. Yeah. And I loved the wire work that you did at the end of the, not the end, but your last kill, shall we say, in that scene. I mean, that was fantastic. That had to be so fun to film.
That was, I mean, obviously as a sound performer, we're so used to doing wires and you have to thank the riggers for saving your life every single time because they're there at the end of it, like making sure you don't hit your face on the floor. But I mean, we did it a few times before we shot it, because I mean, getting the height right and the angle right, it's pretty intense. But when you get that final shot and the director's like, yeah, we got it, you know, it's the best feeling in the world. But we do have a couple of bloopers, which I wish they would have released.
Oh, yeah, me too.
We might have to call in some favors.
Totally. So I'm curious, you've done some really big films as well as stunts. Maze Runner, Tomb Raider, Resident Evil, Tiger House.
Yeah.
You know, with all of your stunts, what has been your very favorite / scariest or most exciting stunt you've done? What's the one that sticks out?
It was actually for a commercial.
Not expecting that.
Well, I know. It's because as a female stunt performer, a lot of our stunts are very like trip over this or, you know, take a hit, or we don't often get a big gag. But this commercial was called Don't Text and Drive, and it was actually a South African commercial that went viral. And it was me driving in a car, texting on my phone, and the next thing it was like, and we did a car roll. So that was probably the coolest gag I've done.
Wow.
So real. Yeah, it was ridiculous. It was amazing, though.
Yeah. That sounds terrifying. You're like, that's my job. Terrifying is my job.
No, it's a lot of fun. I mean, we get set on fire for fun, you know. That's another one of those Guinness Book of Records that we did here.
And oh, you did that with what's his name? He was the Stonebridge stunty, and I totally just forgot his name in Start Back. He did that. He was in that group that did that with you. Because I remember him posting about that on his Instagram, like the group all setting themselves on fire.
And he is.
Oh, what? I can't believe I can't remember. Kelsey, help me.
You're going to be way better at remembering that
for
than me.
Strike Back. Oh, man. Okay. You take over. I'm going to look it up.
Okay, you look it up. So tell me, because I did not see this. What happened with the Guinness Book of World Records? What was it?
We were basically, I think, 32 stunt performers, and we had to be set alight simultaneously for 45 seconds. So all of us were set alight, and then we walked across the Cape Town promenade, I think it was. Sorry, this was also like 3 years ago, so my memory is killing me a little bit. But yes, it was 32 stunt performers set on fire for 45 seconds.
Oh, fun!
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
That sounds terrifying.
I guess like even my dad is like, why do you do things like that, you know? But I mean, it's so thrilling. It's like an adrenaline rush.
Wow.
So do you find yourself also getting involved in like sports and activities that are sort of adrenaline fueled, like skydiving or any of those? Is that like a you're like nodding really.
I mean, anything adrenaline like driven, I'm so down for. You know, the crazier the better for me, I think.
So how do you sort of come down then, I guess, because I know that filming is so intense, and especially if you're doing like stunts on top of that, what is your sort of like way to recenter yourself? Or do you just like keep going?
Well, we hope to keep going. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, we love what we do. So if we could do it every day, we would. But I think like my saving grace, and this is the typical, I guess, answer, but I love coming home to my dogs. I have three rescue dogs. Aww. And then my dad. I actually still live with my dad, and he is
so cute.
I know. I'm a 27-year-old that lives with her dad, but I love my dad. He's honestly like, he's been the biggest supporter of my life. He's my best friend. And I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing without him. I mean, you know, it's difficult to follow your dreams and still survive in this world, you know? So yeah, that's definitely my down moment. I have nice dinner and wine with my dad and my dogs.
Well, and he's clearly very proud of you, so.
Yeah, I know. He's my everything. He really is. And I only want to make him proud, you know? So these kind of roles, I mean, I got to take him onto the set of Warrior, which was probably like, I just saw him smiling from ear to ear. That was the best feeling of my life.
Oh, wow.
It's a hugely like meaningful show, especially to be a part of, you know? I think it's very cool.
I think this show, it's also really relevant to now. You know, everything that's happening now, and being of an Asian descent, you know, my parents, you know, both are Asian. So we understand, you know, they understand the struggles and stuff. So for them seeing the show and really, you know, understanding the storylines and stuff like that, then to see their daughter do it, I think it is really such a proud moment for them. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, I imagine so.
Yeah, we do. We do tend to focus a lot on how important these stories are and how they need to be told. Yeah. And it's interesting because, you know, we tend to think of, you know, what happened for the Asian American experience.
Yeah.
And you're Asian African, South African. So yeah. I wonder how much of, you know, like the Chinese Exclusion Act and all of the different things that go into this story were you aware of before you took the role?
It's sad to say, but I didn't really know a lot about it. I mean, I grew up in South Africa, but both my parents, I mean, my mother's full Japanese and my dad is Japanese German. So yeah, I grew up not really knowing anything about any of that. I mean, I'm so far away from the rest of the world, but I did grow up with a lot of racial issues, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, standing out, being different. I think that was a big factor of me growing up. But then it normalized, you know, it was okay to be different and it was okay to be Asian in South Africa. And now there's a wide population of Asians in South Africa, which I think is amazing.
Yeah, I think as probably everybody knows, Americans can tend to be very national centric, sort of think the whole world revolves around us. And sometimes, you know, it's a good reminder that like the issues that we face here are worldwide, you know, it's not just, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's, it's a sad thing, but I'm, you know, We all, I think we're all learning as humans, we're all kind of evolving too. And I do feel like now, I mean, look at it, Warrior is almost an all Asian cast. Mm-hmm. When did you ever think that something like that would have happened? You know, mm-hmm. I mean, it's such a big thing for the Asian industry and the Asian, you know, actors and actresses. I think that's such a huge thing.
No, we totally agree. I mean, it is, it's why we keep saying and say like every time we talk about the show that it's important. It addresses issues that are relevant and it tells a history that's important for people to hear, but it also is just the representation, I think, is huge, mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, you know, as the world sort of evolving through different lockdowns and what's going on now, South Africa still had a lot of filming going on throughout all of this. And I'm wondering, have you had any roles since Cirque du Soleil, and what do we have to look forward to?
Okay, so currently it is still kind of locked down for us. It's not quite normalized. I do see people filming, and the commercials have opened up. So I've been going to auditions here and there, but nothing big as of yet. I will obviously be working on it. And as soon as I find out, I will let you guys know. But yeah, as of now, it was just Cirque du Soleil, and then the
Cirque du Soleil. How many people get to say something like that? Yeah, it was just Cirque du Soleil.
No, it was a great experience. It was probably, yeah, it was something so surreal because I went from one dream come true to the next. So, you know, for me, I was just floating on like this cloud. But I have a question. I have a question for you guys. What was your favorite episode out of season 2?
Oh, man.
So far, we're up to what? Episode 7 now, right?
7, yeah. So yeah. We can't talk yet about what's to come, although oh my god,
but up till now, what has been your favorite?
I
that's not fair.
Yeah. Because it really is, you know, we started if you listen to every pod is like,
this is amazing.
My god, that was amazing. Like it just keeps getting better and better and better. And
five. And oh, like the intense, with the Li Yong and Zing fight, that was pretty amazing.
Oh, that was crazy. Wow. That was
crazy. 6, like the standalone, that was really good. This 7 was really good. I don't know, they're all amazing. I'm like, I could just keep going.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. Yeah.
It's really hard to pick one.
I know, it's such a good show. I mean, the writing is just so, so amazing.
Yeah.
It is such a good show.
I think what we've really appreciated, I should say I've really appreciated this season, is last season was so, we didn't really emotionally know the characters very well. There was a lot of, you know, action and a lot of stuff going on. And we got, you know, some emotion that was important, But yeah. This year, it's not only is it just extremely intense action, but we're really connected to these people and we're really knowing who they are. Mm-hmm. And that little change, even though there's so many more people this season, but you know, every word is meaningful and every word, you know, is just precious. And it's hard to pick a one episode that's your favorite because they're all just so important and building toward this end that is just devastatingly mind-blowing.
Yeah, season two really, I think they really did something special for this one.
Yeah.
It's just growing. It's just growing and getting better. And that's why I'm really hoping that it carries on. Because I have a feeling if they have a season three, it's going to be even more amazing.
Yeah.
The show definitely needs a season three and for a lot of reasons. But yeah, I think, you know, the first season, one and two, we were like, I don't know. Yeah. It's not really like, I think they did not a great job advertising exactly what this show is, you know, and then it starts to pick up and then you're like, oh, this is great. This is great. This is great. And then this season it's like, how does this keep getting better? Oh my God. I don't know. This is amazing. And they just like hit a level and just keep it just, And what Deb said, I mean, we see more Mini-Me. We see, you know, we have Hong, we have Davenport, like these new characters, but you feel everybody in a different way. I don't know what it was that clicked in between seasons for that, or if it was just like we laid this so much groundwork. I don't know, but it just feels like you feel connected in a way that that's new and very exciting.
And even a character like Lai, who has almost no dialogue, we learned so much about her just through the emotions, you know, and that's
whose dialogue is like crying punch. And hitting.
Actions speak louder than words, right?
Well, I think that says a lot for you that you were able to convey so much through facial expressions and action and stuff. We get so much from that. I mean, it's one of the reasons with a podcast, we always tell people, like, we don't use the video for this. We're an audio-only podcast. Please turn your video on because human, like, expression is so, like, reading each other's Facebook expressions is such a huge thing for connection and conversation, and it makes it not feel like we're just going to ask you, like, a list of questions and, like, an interview, or you have, like, the awkward, like, somebody is, like, you can't see their face and they like tell a joke and you're like, is that funny? That's like sort of awkward. And I don't know if that was a joke. That was like a little, you know? So So you do, you've done a phenomenal job with her.
Why? Thank you. I appreciate it. I really do. And I mean, this whole mute assassin role. I mean, I don't know. Have you guys, it's totally off topic, but have you guys watched The Boys?
The Boys, yes.
I haven't, but I haven't watched it yet.
Have you seen that there's a lie in there?
Yes.
Totally so crazy. I mean, yeah, she's also brilliant. But
she is super crazy, though. Like, Lai's a little psycho. She's like a lot crazy.
She's like a super villain or something, right?
Yeah. That's so funny. Yes. So do you hope to be doing more work in front of the camera now?
I do. I think that's my next step. I will be taking more acting lessons. I need to polish up my American accent and my British accent a bit more because obviously that seems to be the general accents in movies. And then, yeah, I hope to really do some small films. I do want to work abroad. I want to work in Europe if I can too. And then obviously in the US. But yeah, we'll see how that all pans out. But that's definitely part of my goal.
Very cool.
Well, we're really hoping that you're going to have a big opportunity coming up in South Africa to bring Lai back to us because we love her.
Thank you guys. Yeah. Well, we'll see. Let's cross fingers and let's all hope that somebody approves it and we get a season three because then we'll be having this conversation hopefully next year.
Yay! We hope so.
Thanks, and tune in next week for another Need to Know session at the Crib. Follow us on Twitter @StrikeBackCrib. Out.